Welcome to Serve and Volley, the tennis podcast for people who like arguments. I'm Nick.
I'm Pavel.
Okay, so welcome back to Serve and Volley on this, it's a fine Sunday, beautiful London Sunday. Pavel and I have just returned from the tennis
court. It is a Saturday, but it's a sunny day, so, right. You know, who's to say what day it really is?
All my understanding of the days of the week has been thrown out the window by this nice weather. We've been playing tennis this morning.
We got thrashed. We lost 6-3, 6-love, I'm sorry to say.
First tennis of the summer.
Yeah, you know.
A lot of rustiness.
We just wanted to get our opponents hooked so we can really hustle them
exactly,
next time.
Exactly. It's all part of the long game. Yeah. So we're going to do basically this episode as a big French Open preview. Focus your minds on what's going on in Paris in the coming couple of weeks. But first of all, let's recap what's been going on for the weeks since our last episode of Been and Gone, which has basically been two big tournaments, which are ATP and WTA combined events in Madrid and Rome. Tell me about Madrid first of all, Pavel.
So Djokovic beat Tsitsipas in the final in Madrid. Tsitsipas beat Nadal en route, and Djokovic beat Thiem, who had beaten Federer. And I watched that Djokovic-Thiem match, and I was thinking that, you know, Djokovic was on Thiem's head a bit. I think he actually played better for large stretches of that match and just couldn't convert the advantage that he had. And you know, but then he lost to Verdasco in Rome. But I still think Thiem was like a dark horse for the French Open.
And Thiem has beaten Nadal in this clay court season.
He beat him in Barcelona before winning the tournament. Yeah, so I think like Thiem, you know, he was a finalist last year. I think he will, you know, struggle to defend the 1,200 points, but I think he's still got to be like third favorite behind.
Yeah, he's picked it up a little bit. Whereas on the other hand, Zverev has been really struggling on this clay court season.
Yeah, he is in the final of Geneva.
Yeah, but later
this afternoon.
I mean, he's playing a 250 where he is by far the highest ranked player because he needs to get his confidence up. Yeah. It's not.
Dimitrov tried doing that and lost in the first round.
So it's Dimitrov. I was just sitting there thinking, what on earth is what's his ranking? And he's ranked number 47 in the world at the moment. I mean, it's an extraordinary
form. Yeah, he was third after he had won the Masters, the Tour Finals, which wasn't that long ago. It was like about 18 months ago.
Mm.
So it's been quite a... I mean, he's no Jack Sock, who I think has had the most like dramatic...
Where's Jack Sock currently ranked?
110. Right. But he's also injured, so he's got that as an excuse. In Madrid, Bertens beat Halep in the final. It's very congested in the women's top five at the moment in terms of points. Osaka is still number one, but you know clay isn't her best surface because her serve is such an asset. So the gap between her and the rest of the tour has been narrowing. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in Paris. Although, of course, Halep is defending 2,000 points from her win last year. So
yeah,
but she's still got to be one of the favorites. I mean, even though she hasn't won in either of the two big clay court tournaments, she's still, you know, probably the best clay court player on the tour over the course of her career. Is that fair to say?
It just feels like this Madrid and Rome and Stuttgart before it sort of have shown how congested, you say, not just the points total is, but how congested those semi-final places are. I mean, and finalists, you've got different people winning all the three of those tournaments, and you've kind of got a whole bevy of different semi-finalists and different, and almost everyone who's done well has also lost to another person who's done well. So it's really hard to say going in, and we'll talk about it in a second when we come to the French Open and we talk about our kind of predictions and our runners and riders. But I do think it's from like form alone, it's really hard to say who in the women's game is looking strong going into the French Open. In the men's game, I mean, Nadal was brilliant in Rome.
Yeah.
I think we can say that. He was
he was having a pretty poor clay season by his standards up to that point.
But there was one day there where he had to play twice in a day and won 6-1, 6-love, and 6-love, 6-1. Yeah. So that was brutal.
Yeah.
And then the Djokovic final was, by all accounts, a pretty good match. Djokovic giving a pretty good account of himself. He's, you know, up there.
Djokovic got bagel, right, in the first set and then won the second, and then
lost the third. But you've got it. Yeah. Again, we'll talk about the prospects of the French Open in a second. But yeah, so those have been...
I guess the other big story is Federer being back on clay.
Yeah.
He lost to Thiem, quite an entertaining match, quite close match in Madrid. I would think he would have lost to Djokovic anyway, so I wasn't too disappointed when he lost that
match.
You'd
rather he lost to Thiem than Djokovic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's good to see him back on clay. Obviously, clay is never going to be his best surface, but you know.
But he adapted much better than I expected, to be honest. I mean, he withdrew against Tsitsipas in Rome, but you know, the match that he did play, he beat Monfils, for instance, who's you know not a bad clay court player, and he's kind of hit the ground running considering he hasn't played in it since you know basically 2015. Because in 2016 he had a very truncated clay court season as well, and then he skipped 2017, 2018.
And we were also denied the 20-something meeting of the Williams sisters at the Italian Open when Serena withdrew. I mean, I don't really know what to make of Serena's form going into these.
Serena does have the tendency to just turn it on for big majors, right? So. She hasn't done
in a while now. I mean, she hasn't won a major since the 2017 Australian Open.
Well, she did. Yeah, she did almost die giving birth since then.
So I know.
It's obviously you know. I think it's not like it was 2 years ago where the whole tour was just fighting to you know see who was kind of second best after Serena. I think she's got to you know prove that she can be back in the top five. Where is she ranked now? Like
she's 10.
Okay, so Serena's in top 10, just about, and there's not been any kind of huge success stories since she's been back on tour, but she's worked her way back up in the way that, for instance, Sharapova hasn't been able to do, even though Sharapova is younger. Maybe she will turn it on for the major. And it's the last major standing that still plays without tiebreaks in the final set. So that's...
Or Hawkeye,
yeah. It's always entertaining.
Who was it? Someone was calling for there to be Hawkeye on clay, which just seems like an absolutely joyless thing to call for.
I mean, I do enjoy the kind of umpires sprinting out of their chairs to like pointed marks, and then, but whenever they get it wrong, it must be so frustrating for players.
What I love is not having Hawkeye on courts, but having it on the television, which I just think adds a whole another layer to the drama. That's one of the great things about like watching football is seeing people make mistakes and then everyone on TV being like, oh my god, what a horrendous mistake, while they all kind of in blissful ignorance continue on the pitch. I think the other thing we should probably touch upon finally before we move on to focusing on the French Open is Nick Kyrgios, who is one of our favourite
people.
But you know, Nick, if you're listening, which I you know probably is, I don't really appreciate this exclusive interviews for rival competitors podcasts. But he obviously made big waves with his very candid interview. For the record,
I agree about you know Djokovic. So,
Don't know shit. But the whole point was that he was like talking about how he is in the dressing room and how he's like.
No. But the whole like desperate to be like thing. I think you can. That comes across, even before I heard him say that.
Palpable even without knowing the man.
I think so. I think there's something about Djokovic that is kind of he just knows he'll never, even though results wise in some ways he's you know matched Nadal and Federer. I don't think he'll ever have the same kind of genuine following that those two guys do.
It's a difficult point to, you know, it's a difficult point. It's not necessarily Djokovic's fault because he arrived when, you know, there was a rivalry between someone who was like really loved and admired and greatest of all time and this kind of young upstart who had his own kind of fan base challenging that. And then he's sort of always been the kind of odd third, even though he's achieved so much and, you know, has the potential to achieve a lot more.
Yeah,
but then obviously Kyrgios gave this interview, swipes at Djokovic, swipes at Nadal, swipes at he hates Fernando Verdasco. who else did he have a go at? It's nice.
Criticized Tsitsipas for not talking to him.
Tsitsipas.
But it does seem like he actually quite likes Tsitsipas, but also just in a kind of like slightly patronizing way. Like
this just so intense. He was nice about people as well, you know.
I enjoyed his bromance with Tiafoe.
Yeah,
I think Tiafoe seems like a very likable character.
Kokkinakis, Murray, very nice about all of them.
Yeah, Kokkinakis said he's like a brother.
Yeah. Anyhow, so but and then immediately after that,
I mean, the best comment he made was still about Bernard Tomic, where he said he knew he was the latest man on tour when he saw Bernard Tomic put more effort into their doubles match than he puts into his singles matches.
Yeah. Anyhow, he immediately after that interview, and I think probably some of the reaction to it on social media and things. I think he is one of the difficulties of being so open and honest. Is that he's also, I think, very receptive to the... It's not like he can tune out the criticism. I think he sees a lot of it, reads a lot of it.
Yeah.
So I think he saw that. It seemed to get into his head. The match against Casper Ruud, I mean, he had just a meltdown on court.
And it was a point as well, because like, if he had lost that fair and square in the third, he would have still gotten like 45 points or 90 points in Rome. He would have been seeded for the French. Instead, he just loses his shit when, you know, he wasn't even losing the match. He just got broken back in the third and was back on serve. So, Rude is like a pretty, you know, okay player.
Having had a very good win against Medvedev in the previous round. It's just, it is what it is. Yeah. And now he's withdrawn from the French Open, saying his illness. I saw someone on Twitter being like, he's allergic to clay.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, I still think he can have a great grass court season, but, you know, let's cross that bridge when we get to it.
It was weird to see Rude kind of coming out being like, he should be given
banned for six months
suspension for throwing a tiny chair onto the court.
Yeah. I like Federer's reaction.
Federer's reaction seemed to be proportionate,
yeah,
I guess. Right, so let's move on to...
So predictions. Nadal beat Djokovic in the final. You know, it's gonna be.
All right. Well, join us again after the tournament to find out. You think it's gonna be as open and closed as Djokovic versus Nadal? You think this is?
I think they finally hit the form that we've been kind of waiting for them to hit since the Australian Open final, when they had this kind of a few months where different people were playing well. Like Thiem had that great run in Indian Wells, and also in Barcelona, Fognini had that amazing run in Monte Carlo. But the last two tournaments, I mean, this is kind of recency bias for me, maybe, but the last two tournaments have shown that. In both those tournaments, it could have easily have been the final. Tsitsipas had just had an inspired performance against Nadal in Madrid. And then Nadal got even better when it came to Rome. And then that was kind of the final that everyone was waiting for.
Yeah, I mean,
Nadal... Did Djokovic lose to in Monte Carlo? Or did Djokovic... Did Djokovic played Monte Carlo, right?
Did he lose? Yeah, he did.
Did he lose to, like, Kohlschreiber or something? Someone random.
Sounds right. That sounds right. Nadal's a hard man to beat at Roland Garros as well. I mean, like, it's...
Well, he was a hard man to beat at Monte Carlo as well until Fognini knocked him out this year. Like, yeah. He won it, like, 11 times.
It's never going to matter as much. And it's also always easier to do an upset in a 3-set match than it is in a 5-set match.
Yeah.
He looks in great form and in
and he'll be hungry and...
Rome and... Yeah, I mean, Djokovic, again, he won back-to-back Grand Slams now. He obviously probably has an eye on that calendar year, or not. Non-calendar year.
Well, I think the thing that Djokovic would really, you know, would be really special, he would...
The Nole Slam.
Yeah, if he wins the French, he'll be the first man, I think ever, maybe since Rod Laver, to have won every major... More than once,
yeah.
Because Nadal's only won one Australian Open, and Federer obviously has only won one French, and same with Djokovic. So this will, you know, this is the kind of thing that the big three all share, and the same thing with like winning all when he won in Cincinnati last year and finally completed the kind of Masters Slam. It is kind of, I still think people will appreciate the fact that Federer has, you know, five more majors, more, but it is a very unique achievement. So if he manages that, then. He'll, you know, throw another spanner in the works with the whole like greatest of all time debate.
Who are the kind of dark horses? Thiem, you think?
Thiem is not really a dark horse. Thiem is like the defending finalist. He's one of the best clay court players in the world, and he can beat both.
It would still be a huge
Nadal.
Upset if Thiem won.
Well, yeah,
it was an upset. I haven't
looked at the draw yet, which is probably a stupid thing to do considering we're, you know, discussing the how the tournament's going to go. But I think like the problem is that you can beat one, but beating both in the same tournament is just crazy hard. Like Thiem beats Djokovic in the French last year. No, sorry, the year before that, even bageled him, and then lost to Nadal in the semis. And then he beat Nadal in Rome also 2 years ago, and then lost to Djokovic in the semis. So it's really hard to get these kind of back to back wins against these big players. I mean, Nalbandian managed to do it, or like Del Potro managed to do it, but that was like 10 years ago. I can't remember who the last person to like beat two of the big three in the in the same tournament was.
And what do we think in terms of who are the other names who are thereabouts? I mean, Zverev,
Wawrinka.
Wawrinka will be there'll be a sort of romance to Wawrinka doing something. Fognini, I mean, like,
yeah, Fognini can do it. He, you know, he's finally won his first Masters. We know that his top level of play is just insanely high. It's just that he's a bit of a head case, but you know, he's been less of a kind of Kyrgios-esque presence this year. He's been more, you know, regular kind of top tour player.
Tsitsipas,
he reached the semis at the Australian. He reached the final in Madrid. He's an old core player. He has good stamina.
He'll be looking at the moment, you know, he'll be looking at his game and being like, he would certainly like to be a Grand Slam finalist at least by the end of the year. I mean, I don't think that's an unreasonable...
No, yeah.
Ask for him. I mean, you know, you'd probably hope for a semis. Where is he seeded?
He'd be seeded sixth, I think, or seventh. Yeah. So who else is in the top 10? Isner isn't playing. Anderson isn't playing.
This is the first time Raonic
isn't playing. So all the big servers are out, which doesn't really matter for the French anyway.
I think this is the first time in however many years there's no American men seeded.
I think Tiafoe managed to get seeded after Kyrgios had the meltdown, even before he pulled out. Yeah, Tiafoe's just, he's 32nd, so literally just on the verge. And Tiafoe's not really a big clay court player. So Shapovalov, someone like that, maybe?
No.
Nishikori, you know, if he gets a decent draw. Medvedev, to be honest, like, the way he started the year, he had a really good win-loss record, and nobody expected him to do much on clay, but then he reached the finals in Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like there are going to be players in there, you know, who...
Hopefully Del Potro can get a good run going, because it's great to see him back from injury. I think everyone is probably one of the most liked people on tour.
So your prediction, who's your prediction for a winner? Go on, put your money where your mouth is.
I said Nadal beats Djokovic in the final.
Nadal beats, you said beats Djokovic in the final, okay. Yeah. That seems extremely plausible to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a very brave prediction anyway.
I think it can be our official party line. The official serve and volley party line is that Nadal will be Djokovic's final. What about the women? I mean, this is where you're going to have to be a little bit bolder, I think, in your prediction.
Yeah.
Obligated to be.
I'm going to go for Kiki Bertens.
Winning it.
Yeah, because I think it's been very difficult for women to defend their major victories. So that rules Halep out. I think Pliskova, even though she's had success in clay, is not naturally a big clay court player. So who else is in good form? I mean,
Kvitova.
Yeah, Kvitova could do something. Although again, I think she's better on faster surfaces.
Is Stuttgart not clay?
Did she win in Stuttgart?
Yeah, I think she won in Stuttgart, didn't she?
Oh, did she? Okay. Well, I'll take it back then.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean everything. You know, Sharapova. You know, cow on ice or whatever good. It is. And you know, think what Serena? You think
Serena's semis, maybe quarters. I don't think she'll go all the way, but. Although once she gets going, it's quite hard to stop her. But I don't think she's lost a bit of edge from a couple of years ago, obviously. So.
You know, home talent, you know, Joe Condon had a really, really good clay, has had a really good clay season.
Yeah,
surprisingly.
Surprisingly
good clay season.
Yeah.
Getting to the final in Rome, beat Bertens on the way there. So, you know, again, it would be nice if she could get a quarterfinal or something.
Yeah.
Get some confidence back, move up the ranking places. I don't know about Bertens winning. I mean, I think someone like Pliskova, but it's very hard to put your money anywhere, particularly Svitolina. She's got Venus in the first round, so I could actually see her losing.
Come on, Venus is like 40 or something.
That does seem like the best of the first round matches, as far as I could
there's some great men's first round matches. If you're into watching geriatric men play tennis, there's Ivo Karlovic versus Feliciano Lopez with a combined age of 78.
Ooh, Feliciano Lopez. Feliciano, who was very much admired by Nick Kyrgios in his interview. He's a big fan of Feliciano.
Yeah, well, who isn't? Judy Murray likes Nick Kyrgios. Nick Kyrgios likes Feliciano Lopez. Judy Murray likes Feliciano Lopez. Do I smell a...
A three-way? A love triangle or a three-way?
I'm glad you said it.
Which is weirder. I would watch that. Ivo Karlovic, Feliciano Lopez. I mean, probably not for more than about 5 minutes, but you know, I'd tune in for the novelty. So we both agree that our champions are Nadal on the men's side, and then you're going Bertens, and I'm going Pliskova on the women's side.
Pliskova, it would be weird if, I mean, Pliskova still hasn't won a major. It would be weird if her first major was on clay, but you know.
It happens. Weirder things have happened.
Stranger things have definitely happened.
What's the strangest thing that's ever happened in tennis?
I think Federer winning the Australian Open 2017 is actually very strange. When you look at his draw.
Weirder than that guy stabbing.
There's some... If we're talking about really weird stuff, then yeah, that's probably up.
Because that seems pretty... You obviously think it's weird that Federer won a Grand Slam, which for me, it seems like he's done that a few times, but...
No, but like...
That's weirder than a stabbing.
Because after that, obviously he won in this like run, he like dominated Wimbledon and won again, but... If you just, you know, people ruled him out. In 2016, he was just trash. Like, he lost to Raonic, who we, you know, even though I have a soft spot for Raonic, but, you know, that's not the kind of player you should be losing to from two sets to one up.
Right. So, stranger things have happened than Pliskova winning the French Open, namely Federer winning the 2017 Australian Open and Monica Seles being stabbed. We'll check back in after the French Open and see how wrong we were about all of this. See who's done well,
and we'll be back to our regular scheduling with the controversies and backhanded compliments.
Exactly. We'll have that format right up until just before Wimbledon, when we'll do another Wimbledon preview.
Yes. See you then.
See you then. Lots of love to you and the family.